Hey, it's Mitch here. And before we get going, I wanted to let you know that Public Media Giving Days are all set for May 1st and 2nd. If you love public radio, public television, podcasts like The Frequency, and everything in between, it's time to public media party. Here on The Frequency, we provide trusted, accurate news and information to our community, about our community. It's what we do best here at Vermont Public. And all of this critical reporting is funded by folks like you. During Public Media Giving Days, we're inviting you to make a donation to support everything you love about public media. And when you make a gift of $5 or more, we'll send you a special Vermont Public sticker pack. Just our way of saying thanks. Head to vermontpublic.org/donate to make your gift today. From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Friday, April 19th, and here are today's headlines. The new head of Vermont's Agency of Education says she plans to take a statewide listening tour to connect with students, teachers, and parents. Zoe Saunders was recently appointed Education Secretary by Governor Phil Scott. She moved from Florida, where she previously worked as a charter school strategist and school administrator. Yesterday on Vermont Edition, Saunders said one topic she wants to explore is school consolidation.
So I think the conversation there is around really as a state identifying what are the educational opportunities that we want all of our students to have access to, and then think about how we need to structure ourselves in order to deliver on that.
Saunders started in her role Monday. Her confirmation hearing is next week. And in just a bit, we'll be examining one of the biggest challenges Saunders will face in her new role due to the large number of school budgets rejected by Vermont voters this year. Multiple bills aimed at modernizing Act 250, that's Vermont's signature land use law, have circulated around the State House this year. They've drawn intense debate, and now those bills have become one. On Wednesday, the Senate Committee on Natural Resources and Energy passed legislation that sets up a years-long process to relax Act 250's reach in some municipalities. It also strengthens the law's protections over critical natural resources, like headwater streams and habitat connectors, and it makes interim exemptions for housing over the next few years. But at a press conference this week, Governor Phil Scott argued the bill misses the mark on housing. He said without significant changes, he would consider withholding his signature.
As it stands right now, from what I've seen, it would very likely reach a veto.
The bill must clear several more committees before it reaches a full vote in the Senate. A federal grand jury yesterday indicted a 35-year-old man for setting fire to the door of Senator Bernie Sanders' Burlington office. Shant Sagamonian is accused of using fire to damage a building used in interstate commerce. The charge carries a 5 to 20 year prison sentence. His arraignment has yet to be scheduled. Federal prosecutors say Sagamonian allegedly sprayed a liquid on the door of Sanders' office in downtown Burlington and then lit the door on fire. There were multiple people in Sanders' office when the fire started, though nobody was injured. A judge yesterday also ordered Sagamonian to be held in prison while the case is pending. Volunteers will collect trash on Burlington's waterfront tomorrow as part of an Earth Day event. Ashley Sullivan is executive director of the Rosalia Project for a Clean Ocean. That's a nonprofit that uses education, research, and community service events to protect waterways. Sullivan says they'll host the waterfront cleanup at the Community Sailing Center, then conduct a public trash sort afterwards on Church Street.
We're going to be kind of unpacking all the trash that we picked up and collecting the data on what it is that we're finding, to get a better understanding of what the trash is so that that data can then help drive solutions.
The Rosalia Project has been doing what they call data cleanups for 14 years. The event is free and open to the public. Gloves, trash bags, and other cleanup supplies will be provided. Vermont independent book publisher Chelsea Green has been tentatively sold to a massive international publisher. Rizzoli International Publishing has agreed to buy the company for $5 million, according to a press release. Rizzoli is a New York-based subsidiary of the Italian publishing giant Mondadori Group. Chelsea Green is based in White River Junction and is known for publishing titles on progressive politics, sustainability, and related topics. The company employs 17 people in Vermont and has been employee-owned since 2019. Chelsea Green's president told VT Digger the company has no immediate plans for layoffs. And coming up, a potentially unprecedented number of school budgets have failed this year, even after a second round of voting. Education reporter Lola Dufour has the latest on the short and long-term challenges public education faces in Vermont after this. This year's town meeting day saw a potentially unprecedented number of school budgets fail across Vermont, in districts small and large alike. As of this report, 15 schools have held second votes on amended budgets, nearly all of which have failed. And now, some have scheduled third votes. But what happens if budgets don't pass before summer vacation? And what do these failures mean for public education in Vermont in the short and long term? To help us sift through the details, Vermont Public's education and youth reporter Lola Dufour joined host Jen Jarecki.
Okay, Lola, let's start big picture. Broadly speaking, when it comes to school budgets, what happened on town meeting day and where are we now?
Well, on town meeting day, we saw roughly one in three budgets fail at the ballot box. Now, not every school district votes on town meeting day, and some school districts that have since voted have been able to pass budgets, but by and large, the school districts that have had to go for a second revote to try and pass a budget have failed to do so. And so we are in a pretty bad place for school budgets in Vermont right now.
So of those schools that have had subsequent votes, which failed, I mean, what do they do now?
Well, in Vermont, you don't really get a school budget until your local electorate agrees to one. And so what school districts have to do is revise their school budget, put a new plan before voters, and hope that they say yes. So basically, they have to keep going with this process until they get to yes. There is a growing concern this year, though, given this environment, this anxiety about taxes, that a not insignificant number of school districts might not get a voter-approved budget before they have to reopen their doors next fall.
Lola, what happens if a district still doesn't have an approved budget by the end of this school year?
Well, according to current law, what happens in that case is that a district is allowed to borrow up to 87% of its prior year's budget. So you don't get, you know, a complete government shutdown, right? There's a way for the school district to kind of continue basic operations. Of course, in this inflationary environment, 87% of your prior budget would be pretty catastrophic. And we're also talking about borrowing that money. So you have the added problem of having to pay interest. This means that school officials are asking lawmakers to create a new backstop because they're worried, again, that in some cases, they might not ever get to yes. It's likely that lawmakers are going to take them up on that request and kind of come up with a new default. But we don't yet know what that alternative might look like.
We also mentioned earlier that the amount of failures this year are potentially unprecedented. Lola, can you provide some more context on what voters across the state are thinking? I mean, is it too simple to say this is just a matter of folks not wanting double-digit tax increases?
I think it's definitely a little bit more complicated than that. And it's also basically that, right? Vermonters are operating in an incredibly inflationary environment. Healthcare costs are up, housing costs are up. So in general, people are feeling incredibly squeezed. And a school budget is an expense that you might feel like you have some measure of control over, right? So I think you're more likely to say no to increases in a school budget. Of course, that inflationary environment is also what is creating, in large part, this growth in education spending. So school districts are really struggling to respond to that. Another kind of interesting wrinkle is that some of the school districts where we are seeing repeated budget failures are not necessarily the higher spenders. And, you know, what you have is a lot of, I'll call them usual suspects, right? So districts that have historically had trouble passing budgets this year are having even more trouble. And that's concerning to lawmakers and also to school officials who worry that voters who are trying to kind of instill some fiscal discipline might be taking it out on actually some of the most frugal districts.
Vermont has stood up some new tax revenue streams in recent years. What about the education revenue generated from taxing online sports betting and retail cannabis? I mean, does that factor into this conversation at all?
Thank you so much for asking that. Everyone seems to think that pot and gambling revenues can fix this. I think they can't. Those pots of money are spoken for. They're also just not that big, even if they're exceeding expectations. Lawmakers are advancing a proposal that would tax cloud software, which is currently exempt from the sales tax. Think about like TurboTax. That's an example. And they're also thinking about adding a modest surcharge, 1.5%, to short-term rentals. Both of those things would very slightly buy down property taxes, but they're not going to make a huge difference. And in general, you know, lawmakers have really emphasized that there's not much they feel they can do to bring down property taxes. There are no easy pots of money that are not spoken for. And also, you know, even while some lawmakers are trying to raise new revenues, they would rather create new initiatives and provide new services for that. They're a little bit worried about buying down property taxes and trying to avoid the kind of cost containment conversation that they increasingly feel Vermont needs to have.
Lola, you've reported for Vermont Public on Vermont's teacher shortage, which has only gotten worse since the pandemic. And compensation is partly to blame for that. Is there a chance these budget failures will exacerbate that problem? And I also, I hate to ask, but are we going to see layoffs?
I'm not sure how much this will depress wages, because a lot of those are just kind of baked into contracts at this point. And because of the market, you sort of can't pay people less. However, yes, we will absolutely see layoffs. There's kind of no way around that. The executive director of the Vermont NEA, that's the teachers union, has already testified that it, you know, hundreds of educators have already received reduction in force notices. Now, that's not a layoff yet. You get a RIF notice when there's a potential for layoffs, but it's the first step in that process. And, you know, at least one school district, the Montpelier-Roxbury School District, is also reacting by just shutting down an elementary school in Roxbury, which is obviously extremely controversial in Roxbury. The town has filed suit against the school district to try and block this. So, you know, I think we can expect a lot of disruptive and difficult change to come out of this budget cycle and season.
That was Vermont Public Education and Youth Reporter Lola Dufour speaking with host Jen Jarecki. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Michaela Lafrac, Carly Berlin, Liam Elder Connors, Mary Angish, and Dia Golston. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. I'm off next week, but I'll talk to you soon.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.